You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
How do you succeed in a field that's fiercely competitive? Well, one option is to hire a pro for advice, and that's the premise of Peabody Award winner Teresa Rebeck's new play, Seminar, where four aspiring writers pool their money and enlist an international literary celebrity to teach a private class. Only he's not quite what they expected. Alan Rickman plays Leonard, the literary star they hire, and Lily Rabe and Hamish Linklater are two of the unpublished writers. I'm delighted that this wonderful trio of talented actors could join us today. Welcome back to our show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And all of you have been here before, but in different projects. It's nice to see you all together. Although, Lily and Hamish, you appeared together in The Merchant of Venice in Central Park, didn't you?
Yep.
I remember it ended with the two of you entering what promised to be a very shaky marriage.
That was us.
Yeah. I heard that you shared a dressing room with Al Pacino.
Yeah, yeah.
That must have been
That was a shaky
odd.
Marriage, too. No, it was lovely. He was fantastic. Yeah, he loaned me many blueberries during the run.
Well, I'm sure that it was hard for you to relate to the characters here because, judging from this play, all writers are incredibly insecure and incredibly envious. Nothing like actors, right?
No.
Yeah, no, we couldn't relate at all.
Actors are very supportive to each other, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, some are and some aren't, aren't they? There's always somebody who's going to stab you in the back. Yeah. Well, all of you are accomplished. Is there ever a time when an actor stops being a bit insecure?
Not right now, I don't think. No, this is an insecure moment as an actor.
Really? Why?
Well, because there's a microphone.
Oh.
So terribly live.
Oh, you mean just talking your own script rather than something that somebody's provided for you makes you feel insecure?
Well, it's nice to have the words in front of you, yeah.
I was thinking just...
You can't stuff the words back either, you know, once they're out there.
I was thinking for other reasons. It seems to me that the quality of acting we see today is just so much higher than it probably ever was in this country anyway. And that must make it a lot tougher when you just... auditioning for a part.
Is that true?
Well, I look at old movies. Look at movies from the 30s and 40s. There's usually one or two people who are fabulous. And then there are an awful lot of other people who sound like they are acting. And kids today are so much better. Gee, Mr. Jones, I'm so happy to be here. That's the way kids used to sound in movies. Not anymore.
Yeah, I think, all sorts of things are different, not least the fact that... there's a much greater sense of next coming from producers and directors and the business in general. And so, you know, I look at the careers that Hamish and Lily have. I mean, they're fantastic, but it would be terrifying to me to be a young actor now because your career is possibly so short.
Well, in your case, you started late, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You went to art school. When did you decide you wanted to be an actor?
Well, probably when I was about seven, but you know, like everything else in my life, it took a bit of time to get there. But I had other fish to fry. I wanted to be at art school and do all of that business, and so it was. I had to wait for my brain to catch up with my body, I suppose.
Do you regret leaving art? Were you happy?
Well, I didn't leave anything. You know, the one hand's onto the other, and it's all part of you.
Well, you also went to the Royal Academy to learn how to act, and that's a very different kind of tradition in England.
Well, I went there to be told that I couldn't act most of the time, but or speak or move.
So did that prepare you for Leonard, playing this character who tells everybody they have problems writing well?
Well, I think all that the good thing about drama school is that everything kind of slots in much later, and you go, oh, that's what they meant. And so somewhere down the line, you realize that the point is don't judge your characters. So to me, Leonard just tells the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lily, your father, David Rabe, is a wonderful writer who for a while was told me on the show was really upset by the way critics dealt with his plays, so he was taking plays to other cities to open them.
Well, or to none at all. Just sort of, yeah, he took some time away from it altogether, I think.
And your mother, of course, was a wonderful actress. So do you feel that this world is familiar to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think there's but for me, you know, my parents were, they told me never to read reviews, and that's sort of the one piece of advice they've given me that I've actually
And you
followed.
Don't, actors all tell me they don't read reviews. Is that true? Does anybody here read reviews?
Some of them you can't escape, but I really don't read them, no.
Well, you do know when people say...
You always... They're
saying you're great in this.
You know, and you're so tremendously relieved and you know, hope so much for the best, and I think can feel... But I think even the wonderful ones, maybe after a play is closed, it's one thing to read at them, but anyway.
Well, you also did consider becoming a writer at one point, didn't you?
Well, I did. When I was in school, I was very focused on writing, and more so than acting when I was in high school. And then once I got into college, I was sort of split between the two, and then acting kind of took over. But my parents were pretty discouraging of both.
Discouraging? Well, that must have been fun. Hamish, haven't you written plays?
I just wrote my first play, but yeah, when I was in school, I wanted to be a writer as well. My mom's family is very literary, but then I found out it was too hard. So yeah, I took a hiatus from that for about 15 years and just worked up the courage to write something.
Have you all had a Leonard in your lives? And it is awkward to be invoking my own name in this way.
Well, my mom is an acting teacher and a voice in Shakespeare guru, and I think I...
Was that a good or a bad thing? I would think that would be a bit intimidating to then say, Mom, I'm going into acting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I never worked with her. She has two books that I've studiously avoided reading.
I've read them. Yeah. They're very good.
And I've worked with Hamish's mother, and she is... to spare his blushes. She is one of the greatest voice teachers in the world. And so I've worked with her and known her before I got to know Hamish and work with him. It would be impossible, I think, to have Kristen as your mother and your voice teacher.
Yeah. She put her hand on my solar plexus once when I was in high school getting ready to play Romeo. And no, it's just all the Oedipal fireworks went off. And I ran away from teachers of all kind from that point on.
Well, did she give you advice along the way?
She'll say, what about a consonant? You know, why not try using one? But she's even backed off that now. Now she's just like a supportive mom.
Although it depends on what character you're playing, doesn't it? There are times when you should be dropping consonants.
Yes, I think so most of the time. But that's a little bit of a quibble.
Well, Alan, their parents were in the business. What about yours?
Well, my mother sang brilliantly, but you know, society has all sorts of rules, which says that if you wind up being a single parent, which she did, there's no future in the business for you. You just got to feed your kids.
My guests are Alan Rickman, who plays Leonard. In a new play from Teresa Rebeck called Seminar. Lily Rabe is here. She plays Kate. And Hamish Linklater plays Martin. And I could go through all of the awards that they have won over the years, and maybe I'll do that later. But the play, Seminar, is at the Golden Theater, 252 West 45th Street. And should point out that if you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. Alan, do you find it at all ironic that here almost 10 years after your last appearance on Broadway in Private Lives, there's Private Lives now opening across the street, and you're back playing a teacher after 8 films of playing a rather difficult character in the Harry Potter series, and Harry Potter's down the street?
He certainly is, being brilliant, I have to say. You know, it's heartwarming to see. I went to see him on the very first preview. You know, that was brave of him for a start, but, you know, he wanted some support out there. And then I went to see it just before we opened, and it's like watching, well, I've watched him from 12 to 21, and to see, it's like he's been to drama school doing this show.
Well, you play Severus Snape in the Harry Potter series. I guess you're never interviewed by anybody with that first name. But do you see anything? do you see him having anything in common with Leonard as a teacher?
And I never see anything in common.
I mean, they can both be rather vicious. Oh, really?
Play. You know, all very separate people to me. So I don't. I suppose the last thing I'm going to look for is anything in common. They're just who they are, and they inhabit their own world, and you try to step into it.
Well, you often are seen as somebody who plays villains, although you've played some pretty sweet characters over the years. But weren't you? What is it? You were chosen one of the 25 greatest villains of all time? Well, I have to find
out. I don't know what to say about that.
Well, but there are some people who play villains better than others, aren't there?
I don't know what to say about that either, except that, you know, you don't judge your characters to, if you're playing somebody who other people think is good or bad, that's not what you think. You just think, this is who I am, this is what I want, and this is how I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will say whether that's honorable or not.
Well, and evil people don't see themselves as evil, so they're always the hero in their own story, aren't they?
I'm not entering into this conversation.
Oh, okay. Hamish, the character you played in The School of Lies, Frank, was a man who couldn't deal with pretenses. He was a kind of a kindred spirit, really, to Leonard with his withering honesty, wasn't he?
His big truth teller, his idea of truth. And both Leonard and my character in this one, Martin, are both, they have a problem with the truth, which is they love it too much. So it makes them a little uncomfortable company.
They're both perfectionists.
Yeah.
Kate has been working on the same short story for 6 years. Martin is too afraid to show what he's written. These are two people who've kind of been in hiding.
Yeah. There is something about what is that thing, hiding your light under a bushel? Or is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You're hiding your – yeah. And I think, you know, that's sort of – for me, that's a nice challenge as an actor. You know, you always want to unbushel your light a little bit more with each part, and that was what kind of got me excited about this play and this part, was because I certainly feel like that in my own way.
Well, how do you get cast in a play like this? Does somebody just say, Hamish, I think that you'd be perfect for this role? Read it and tell us what you think.
Well, both Lily and I had been friendly with Sam Gold for a while.
He's the director.
He's
the fabulous director.
Yeah, and Lily was just remarkable playing Nora in his Doll's House up at Doll House.
We went with Doll's House.
Doll's House.
It was a long debate.
up at Williamstown. So that was sort of the relationship I think that brought me into the play.
And Alan.
I didn't know Sam except that I'd seen his production of Kin at Playwrights Horizons, and in that kind of laser-like way that you develop as time goes on, you say, I want to work with that director because he knows what he's doing, because actors can spot it in every corner of the stage. And
does that often lead you to work in a certain project? Oh, gee, I've always wanted to work with that person, or that person looks
weirdly,
like...
Weirdly, it has, yeah. So I don't know, you put something out into the universe and maybe it comes back. And also I'm friendly with Teresa and I'd read the play.
Mm-hmm. The play we're talking about is Seminar. It's currently at the Golden Theater, and Alan Rickman plays Leonard. He's a Tony Award nominee for Private Lives, and Lely is on Dangereuse and won the Emmy and the Golden Globe for that. Lily Rabe, Tony Award winning, Award nominee for Portia. You should have won it. That was just a magnificent performance.
Well,
Portia in The Merchant of Venice. She plays Kate in this. Hamish Linklater, Obie Award winner for The School of Lies. And they're all starring in Teresa Rebeck's comedy seminar at the Golden Theater at 252 West 45th Street. We'll be back with more. We are back with Lily Rabe, Hamish Linklater, and Alan Rickman, three of the stars of I can't say the new production, just new play from Teresa Ribeck called Seminar. And we should mention the other two cast members, because this is really an ensemble work, isn't it? The other two are Jerry O'Connell and Hetienne Park. And we're talking about four would wannabe writers, people who are not, well, one has been published, right? Kind of. Who are taking a course with a famous editor. Many people see him as based on Gordon Lish. I don't know whether that's something that matters to you one way or another, Alan, when you're working on a script like this. Did you even know?
I read about him, yeah. Mm-hmm. But Teresa would always say it's not him. Maybe for legal reasons.
Well, you could be inspired by somebody.
The information's useful.
Uh-huh. And do you look for as much information as you can? I've spoken to actors who've said, I do as much research as I can, and others who say, I just look at the script and find the character
in the
script.
You know, the part tells you what you better run away and do or not.
Well, in the case of your character, Lily, as I said, you grew up in a family where there was a writer. Did you draw upon any of that?
No, I think Kate is. I did think about, in college, I had taken a lot of writing seminars, and we would have these writers in residence, and I thought about that. And I also, my computer had crashed in college, and I lost a lot of my writing, which I think was sort of such a heartbreak that it really sent me running in the other direction. But my dad and I really dug up, because of course I had emailed them certain drafts, and so in the rehearsal process we dug up some of my old writing, which I don't really know if that was useful at all, but it was interesting.
Well, it's always interesting to read the things we write when we're young, because on the one hand they are often embarrassing, on the other hand they usually show us something that we forgot about ourselves, something good. I mean, I've sometimes found things and said, oh, gee, I didn't know I knew that then.
Yeah, I was certainly very fixated on there were lots of recurring themes. Anyway.
Hamish, the way you described your childhood, it seems like a miracle that you went into acting.
Yeah. My mom co-founded this theater company called Shakespeare and Company, and I sort of grew up watching a lot of Shakespeare and having this massive, ridiculous surrogate family of actors, and they really are the best family that you could ask for. I mean, actors like having an audience, no matter the size. So I got a lot of attention. Yeah.
Alan, I got lost before. It turns out that you were named the 46th best villain in history for your portrayal of Hans Gruber in Die Hard. But I want to.
Moving on.
One of the memorable lines in the play is, I have no skin. At some point in the play or movie, or in a play or any movie, do you feel that way, that you've exposed yourself in such a way that you have no skin? Lily, you're nodding your head yes.
I feel that way.
I think
all
that
the time.
Is the point of the job, unfortunately, or fortunately. Yeah, and increasingly you... you're aware of the need not to lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, that line is part of a very moving dialogue, and in fact, the audience applauded at the end of that monologue. It defines a character in a way that we haven't seen before in the play, and I wonder if you could take us through the process of how you approach working on a monologue like that, where it's in a play where up until then people rarely had more than three lines in a row.
Well, I suppose you just have to not think of it in those terms for a start. It's just a series of thoughts, and they happen to be uninterrupted, and the rules of the game are there's got to be a reason why somebody as vocal as Martin that Hamish plays doesn't interrupt you and tell you to shut up. So, in other words, that's that's very much part of it. You can't assume that you're going to be allowed to keep talking. Mm-hmm. And nor is that his intention particularly. It's just what happens. And fortunately, it's very well written, and the writing tells you what to do, like all good writing.
Did Teresa Rivek come to rehearsals?
Oh, yes.
Did you get a lot of input from her?
Yeah. She's really, like, open and free with doing rewrites, and she is very happy to kill her darlings, as it were. You know, bits that aren't working, they go.
Well, she has lots of darlings because she writes hilarious lines sometimes. So she can... She's one of the funniest, wittiest writers of working today.
Yeah.
And that must be fun for you as well, because you can play it very straight and still get all the laughs you
it's
could
ever
want.
It's very deceptive stuff, though. I thought when I read it that, this won't be like Private Lives, which was like a 2.5-hour marathon every night. This is going to be 1.5 hours, and it's going to be a breeze, and it's funny. And then somewhere in there, I said to her, I've figured out what it is you've written, and it's an 18th century comedy, because nobody really speaks like that, and it seems to be naturalistic. But we're all absolutely kind of metaphorically poised on high heels with wigs on our heads and speaking incredibly structured sentences. And you want to kill her for putting that word next to that word next to that word.
Well, that's part of the pleasure
of brilliance.
Part of the pleasure of acting and taking dialogue like that and making it into something that sounds like it's just coming off the top of your head.
It might be called the pleasure. It's also called finding your limitations yet again.
Really, do you feel?
Yeah, they smack you in the face nightly. Whoops, missed that one.
So you miss different things on different nights?
Oh, yes.
I hope
my
I was at a perfect performance.
My friends could give you some active demonstrations of that. And I'm sort of speaking on stage, but mostly my face is saying sorry.
Alan Rickman, Lily Rabe, and Hamish Linklater are here. They are three of the stars of Teresa Rebeck's comedy seminar at the Golden Theater at 254 West 45th Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. Lily, how did you manage to work in seminar and still shoot the series American Horror Story on the West Coast?
That's a good question. I was very lucky because the people running both shows just made it work. And I would leave when we were rehearsing. I would leave from the rehearsal before the day off and fly and shoot that day, and then take the red eye back. And I've been doing that through the previews, and I have one more week of doing that.
So you're still fighting jet lag, I imagine.
Yeah. I kind of don't know where I am, but I can't complain. I love both jobs so much, and I have a lot of miles now, so I can take a vacation someday.
Hamish, this is your Broadway debut. I associate you with theater, and yet this is your Broadway debut?
Yeah, it's the first time they asked me.
But you, how many plays have you done?
If I were to count, I'd tell you exactly 32. And
but you've done a lot, mostly off Broadway or working in the park, which is a whole other experience.
Yeah. No, I got my equity card 16 years ago, and it's taken that long to get here, but I'm glad to have arrived.
Well, does it feel all that different?
It's really nice. I mean,
you just have a bigger house, don't you?
Well, you have that nice house, and you don't have to share a dressing room with Al Pacino anymore, and that's great. And we share an alleyway with Phantom of the Opera and the Mountaintop, so you see all those people, and it's a nice community.
And when I came out of the theater, there were people lined up for autographs. I wasn't sure whether it was for you or for...
Sometimes you get to sign a Phantom program. They don't care.
You chose not to go into the Broadway production of Merchant
Oh, yes. Okay, so yes, I was. So this is the second time I've been asked to be that. Mm. That I couldn't, because I got offered the $200 million version of the board game Battleship called Battleship.
Directed by Peter Berg.
Directed by Peter Berg, and so I ran off and did that.
Well, Alan talked earlier about working with directors. Peter Berg has a reputation. What's it like working with Peter Berg?
Peter Berg is fantastic. It was easily the funnest time I've ever had making a movie. He has four cameras rolling film all the time, and he's just like screaming new lines at you in the middle of the take, and he's just like, do it more kick-ass, go harder, what if you said this, oh, what if you said this, and it's totally visceral, and it doesn't have that sort of boring thing of making a movie where you have to sit around all the time. It's just like go, and there's no cut. So it's great.
Well, it sounds like that commercial that we've been seeing recently, where there's this big the ship explodes, and everybody's very happy with the take, and the director says, "I want it bigger."
Yeah. It's always bigger. It's always bigger, and that's great. Instead of, you know, be more reactive, really listen. He doesn't want you to listen. He wants you to act like aliens are attacking.
Alan, when you were making the transition from working as an artist, a graphic artist, I assume, how did you support yourself? Were you able to make art while you were going to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts?
yeah, that is largely how I did it, apart from great deal of generosity from those close to me, but
people just helped you out while you were making the transition.
Things like that, yeah. I think there was a lot of time when I was surviving on £1 a day and getting through drama school. But
of course, the pound is stronger than the dollar, but that's still very little money.
It's not a lot, but things were a lot cheaper then. No, it's I had to work in the evenings. It was that simple. I was a dresser in the West End Theater.
So you were in theater, but you were on the other side. You were in the dressing.
I was
records.
Doing what John dressing? Roebelin does for me, is like hold up those jackets and
who were you doing that
get
for?
The sandwiches. Nigel Hawthorne, who I later worked with, and then I was watching Ralph Richardson from The Wings because he was in that show.
Well, that had to be exciting. I don't know. Is it an education to watch other people from backstage?
Somebody like Ralph Richardson, absolutely, because you don't know where it's coming from. I'd stare at him and think, where did that line come from? Mm-hmm. Still don't know.
But I'd imagine that happens with you, all of you, when you're acting as well. You say a line and you say, gee, how did that read? Where did that come from? Or does that not happen? Do you surprise yourself?
Yeah.
I get surprised by
other people
all the time. You sort of hear, it's wonderful even after a day off or something, you just hear the play for the first time over and over again, and that's so wonderful when you are on stage with such great actors and such good writing and get to have that experience. And when you're doing a real run of a show, that's such a joy.
I think the moment that you think, I just heard myself, you're going to be in trouble the very next line.
Yeah. Is this an open run?
I think I have the word March in my
head. Oh, so we have a while to see it.
Yeah.
But it's always best to see it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And if you want more information about the show, seminar, and how you can get tickets, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org to see Alan Rickman, Lily Rabe, Hamish Linklater, and also Jerry O'Connell and Hetienne Park, the cast of this hilarious and also rather illuminating play about writers or people who want to be writers and all of the things that it takes to become a writer. Thank you all for being on our show today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.